Mr. Slay, what impact could the COVID-19 pandemic have on the countries of the region according to their Human Development Index, and how it is possible to assess Belarus's position in this regard?
Belarus occupies the 50th place in the global ranking of Human Development Index out of nearly 200 countries, according to the last UNDP Human Development Report that was issued about 6 months ago. And this is the highest of all of the program countries in which we work in this region. Kazakhstan is also in the 50th place with the same Human Development ranking. Both of these countries are just slightly behind the Russian Federation, which is not a program country, it's rather a donor country in UNDP's cooperation framework. So this, in principle, gives Belarus quite a bit of potential to respond. When you look at the official data on things like hospital beds in Belarus, on the numbers of doctors and nurses per, say, 1,000 people, Belarus also scores quite well. But of course, potential and what is possible may not be the same as what actually happens. And here the question of what concrete decisions are taken by the Public Health Service, by the Ministry of Health, by the higher political leadership, these questions have quite a bit of significance for determining how effective the response actually is. And here we see there's lots of uncertainty about the best way to proceed because there are oftentimes trade-offs between the public health objectives, which are best met by locking everything down and stopping economic activity and keeping everyone home on the one hand, versus the economic consequences, which if you do keep everyone at home to stop the virus, the economy will collapse. And different political leaderships, different countries have dealt with these trade-offs in different ways.
United Nations expert warned that global human development could decline for the first time since 1990. So what could be done to mitigate this decline?
That's indeed the huge question. We all would like to minimize this. The reality is that until there is a vaccine or some type of cure that deals right with the heart of the problem and makes the virus essentially go away or dramatically reduces its scale, there are no good solutions. There's no silver bullets. There's no, you know, volshebnye palochki, right? It's a whole different, it's a whole different ball game. So every country is dealing with these trade-offs between the public health imperatives and the socioeconomic imperatives. And here we have both technical issues and philosophical issues in terms of how you make the trade-offs: human lives versus poverty, jobs, incomes. And these are very, very difficult questions. Different countries have taken different approaches, and they've also taken different approaches in terms of the specifics of the public health response, how quickly they roll out testing, how broad testing for the virus is, whether or not systems are in place to track those, the contacts of those who have contracted the virus, and how to do this in a way that still respects the human rights of the not only the people with the virus, but also the people that they have contacted. Throwing everyone into internment camps who we suspect of possibly having the virus is not only inconsistent with human rights principles, but arguably will be self-defeating because no one will ever get tested. So there's lots of difficult questions that governments are wrestling with. We have yet to find a one-size-fits-all solution, and we're all waiting anxiously for the vaccine or the treatment to be to appear. But realistically, everyone says this is 12 to 18 months away. So we're in a very difficult next year or two. This is the reality, and we could have a global economic crisis on the scale of the 1930s if we're not careful. And many of us believe that, in fact, this is inevitable. And this is why the Human Development Report Office, even though we don't yet have data for this, say it's very likely there will be huge declines in global levels of human development. And just one concrete example of this is the Human Development Index has a component of education, which is very much about how well-educated people are, how many years of education people finish. Well, that component of the Human Development Index has been growing, 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 up, up, up indefinitely since 1990, since the HDI was first introduced. But that's clearly going to change now, because something like 60% of the world's children, not only are they not in school, but they don't have access to the kinds of digital connectivity needed to take lessons on their computers at home. They don't have computers at home, or the internet infrastructure is not stable or strong enough to provide the connections needed. And that's going to have huge implications for the kinds of the quality of education that we have going forward. We're going to have a huge, obviously, impact on the personal income component of the human development indicator, because here we have obviously big declines. The IMF, World Bank say 3 to 5% in 2020. I'm expecting probably more than that. Declines in GDP per capita, personal income in 2020, which is also going to reduce things. So it's clear it's going to be bad in terms of the human development aspects. We just don't know how bad yet.